Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tim Kawakami on the River Islands guest line, SF Standard, and all of the podcasts, right? Right, the Warriors Plus Minus and TK Show and all of the stuff that brings the inside information around the Bay like nobody else. Hi, Tim. How you doing?
I'm just doing fine, Mark. How you doing today?
We're doing great, man. Let's start with, first of all, come on, give us your intel. Is including Trey Hendrickson of the Bengals. How realistic is that? How do you see the 49ers handling that in the weeks to come?
I think they're going to monitor, see how they're doing. Mine was more like I think there's an urgency. They might not feel the same thing. I think at 3-0, possibly 4-0, I think I'd want him on the team play that week 5 game against the Rams, but it's not likely to happen that quickly. I feel like they're defending something here. Like they've got a good start. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl with whoever they've got. I didn't think they were going to win a Super Bowl with Nick Bosa, but I think they got a shot at doing some things in the playoffs. I think 3-0 is a good start at that. I would do it as soon as I can, but I don't think they feel that urgency. Maybe the pick would be too high at this point. I think he fits them really well. There's other names out there, Arden Key and all these other names, Kayvon Thibodeau. I just think Trey Hendrickson, for a lot of reasons, fits kind of the now and possibly the down the road. I'd give up a second round pick for him. Conditionally, they could change to a first. Maybe that's a little high. They probably don't want to give up a first. They do have to keep their draft picks, most of them, because they got guys they need to replace down the road. But if you know the 49ers, you know they've always liked Hendrickson. That's a guy they like. They would have liked him 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Cincinnati was not trading him back then. I think Cincinnati would be very motivated to move him at some point this season, because I think he's not going to be on their team next season. So it's just going to be a matter of, you know, when are they going to start talking about a second round pick? When's that going to be on the table? It might not be something the 49ers want to do right now. I would do it right now, but I'm a different mindset than they are. I think when they get ready to do this, if their season is still, you know, successful enough, if they're 5-1, if they're 6-2, whenever that deadline's coming, it's right in there. I think he's going to be the first one on their list. I would get in on it now, but again, that's me. I would say maybe in a week or two, they'll kind of assess where they are, where the market is. And, you know, they do tend to make their deals around the deadline. McCaffrey was around the deadline. Emmanuel Sanders was around the deadline. Garoppolo was around the deadline. This could be similar to that. I would just, if it was up to me, I'd want him as soon as possible. But, you know, that might cost them an extra round in a draft pick, and maybe they don't want to do that. But, man, if you have to go over what's the best out there and what could fit their moment, it doesn't get any better than Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, Cleveland Farrell, a guy also who's out there on practice squads if they want to go to more of a bargain shopping mindset.
Little drop there.
Yeah, it's a big time drop, Tim, but that's what I'm thinking about as far as my question goes. Is it more smart for them now to go wait and see and actually wait and see what you have and see if Mykal Williams is really going to be a difference maker? Is it possible that they have enough in the building now to where they can get by without having to spend big capital to bring somebody in?
Sure, it's possible, but what I'm always going to say is you don't know who's going to get hurt. You know, you don't know. You always need another pass rusher. You always need someone else to, in case someone gets dinged up, in case somebody struggles. Mykal Williams is a rookie. He's not an edge rusher. He's just not. Bryce Huff's been a good edge rusher, but you can always use two of them, and then you bump Mykal Williams inside. Yes, theoretically, do they have enough? They do have enough. With a soft schedule, they already got 3 wins in the bank. Can they get to 10? Can they get to 11 if they don't make a dramatic move? Yeah, they can, but, man, they might lose someone else. They probably will lose someone else, maybe not on the defensive line, but somewhere else. They might go more games without one of their stars. Christian McCaffrey could miss some games. I never have a problem saying, let's just make sure we're taking care of it, this one position. I will also mention that Leonard Floyd could have been a good option if he had kept him. They did not keep him. I never understood that move. I believe that guys get hurt in the NFL, and you try to accumulate as many good ones as you can. Hey, if they trade for Trey Hendrickson, he could get hurt. That's always possible. Certainly with the 49ers in the last few years. But I just think you got a shot at it in one of, you know, Trent Williams' last prime years, one of Christian McCaffrey's prime years, one of Fred Warner's prime years. You're paying a lot of money to this roster, even if guys are hurt. I go for it. And I think the one significant way you can go for it, man, head and shoulders over most of the other options is Hendrickson, and he's not going to cost you a 2 first-round picks, that's for sure. Maybe won't even cost you 1 first-round pick. In that moment, feels like a Christian McCaffrey moment. You know, they gave up like a 2, a 3, and a 4, I think, for McCaffrey.
And a 5.
And a 5, yeah. You know, I don't even think it would cost that much for Hendrickson just because he's older and because it's a situation where the Bengals probably are not thinking of him long-term. I just feels like that to me, and I would want – I don't need to know if I'm going to be 5-0. I don't need to know that if you're asking me. They might need to know that. I think they're a pretty good team. I think they're a pretty good team with a chance to win a game or two. I compare this to the Rams last year. The Rams were not a super roster, but who played the Eagles the toughest in the playoffs? It was the Rams. They could have won that game.
Yep.
Can the 49ers do something like that? I should want to see, you know, I'd want to push that out there. They're not 1-2. They're 3-0. They're winning these tight games. I just wrote something for tomorrow. I mean, they're 3-0 without having really played a great game. They played some good moments. They have not played a great game. They needed 3 plays at the end to win 3 games. One by Nick Bosa, one by Bryce Huff, and one by Eddie Pinheiro, if you want to count a kick. This is a team that's winning these games that did not win them last year. NFL seasons are valuable. If you got a shot at it, I go for it. That's me. They decided not to go for it in the offseason. I sort of understood the mentality. I didn't understand how far they went for it. But 3-0 changes that, in my opinion. If you don't have to change everything that you plan for, your entire payroll structure, I think you don't have to if you go for Trey Hendrickson. There are a few other names out there. Arden Key is one I keep mentioning because he's been with them. I don't know how much he really, you know, changes who they are, but there's a few names out there that I wouldn't, you know, I certainly think at least help their depth. Hendrickson doesn't just help their depth. He lifts up everything. He's your closest Bosa replacement. He might be better than Bosa right in this moment. Don't tell Bosa I said that, but 17.5 sacks last 2 years. No one else has done that. No one else has done that. And he's got 3, I think, already this year. So he's on his, you know, on pace to do it again. That's a special player.
Tim, I'm totally with you. We're talking with Tim Kawakami here on Willard and Dibbs. I'm wondering if the Bengals need to know that they're not going to have a good record before they're willing. I get it. Joe Burrow's out. They're 2-1. They were embarrassed last week, but they have those 2 early wins. They go Broncos, Lions, Packers the next 3 weeks. Maybe they need to get their you-know-what's handed to them before they're willing to deal?
I guess it's possible, but they don't want to pay Trey Hendrickson. They've already, they've gone through this tussle with him for 2 years. They're not winning a lot of games with Jake Browning. They're just not. We've seen this story before. You lose a starting quarterback. You lose Burrow. They've lost Burrow before, and it hasn't gone well for them. Maybe they do need to see it, or maybe they need to tell their fans, we pushed as far as we can. I wouldn't need that if I was them. I think I'm pretty sure that they're not going to be good. If you're them, you're not trading Jamar Chase, right? You're not trading good players, players that you know that you're going to have on the roster for down the road. But I just, again, like, Trey Hendrickson is a Christian McCaffrey for Carolina right now. Like, they were not going down the road with Christian McCaffrey anymore, so they traded him. Maybe it wasn't a great trade for them, but that was the mentality. I understood it, and 49ers jumped on that opportunity. Get ahead of the line. Do it for Hendrickson. Again, it's urgency that maybe the 49ers don't exactly feel right now. But, man, if in 3 weeks you might feel them, I would 49ers would like to have them rushing Matt Stafford on Thursday night, October 2. That's just me. It's not probably not going to happen by then. But when you have that clear call, that clear chance, which they've felt and acted on for Jimmy Garoppolo, for Emmanuel Sanders, for Trent Williams, for Christian McCaffrey. Now, that's a few years ago for all, you know, more than a few years ago for most of them. That's when the 49ers were going for it. Well, Garoppolo was when they were just trying to get a quarterback. But the other ones, they're going for it. I'm not saying they got a Super Bowl roster if they plop Trey Hendricks in there, but I think you kind of owe it to the roster for getting you to this spot. Like, try to go for, like, this is a shot. This is a shot to get in, win a couple games. We know that when they make the playoffs, they have the NFC Championship game. Every single time when under Kyle Shanahan, if they make the playoffs, they get to the NFC Championship game at least. This would give them a shot at it. I think seasons are worth it.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that about, you know, 3-0 and therefore you've earned it, because when they picked up McCaffrey that year, you remember they were 4-4 coming off a loss to Atlanta, and they couldn't run the ball, so they got a running back and suddenly they took off. Just looking at this team, right now through three, when you look at them, what is their biggest shortcoming right now as a team, even though they're 3-0?
Yeah, well, I mean, it changes with every new injury, because you're just like, okay, they might be okay here, and then they lose Juwan Jennings at receiver. We'll see. He might be back this week. We'll see. The defensive line had been relatively healthy. Then they lose Bosa. So I'm not going to say one specific area. It's just they're thin at a lot of places. They've gotten hurt at a lot of places. They got Purdy coming back. I think that was, you know, Mac Jones was a really nice signing to make sure they're okay there. I don't think they win two games with Mac, with, you know, Brandon Allen, let's say, who was the backup last year. I can't say exactly where I think, you know, I would say offensive line. I've been saying offensive line for a year, and then they thumb their nose at me. They don't take offensive linemen in the draft, basically, except for Connor Colby in the seventh round, right. And they just slop him in there, and he does fine. I think talent-wise – and age-wise, it's offensive line. I think that's the one that might get them in the end. If they lose Trent Williams, I don't know who they're doing, what they're doing at left. It's Austin Pleasance, I think, at left tackle. And again, injuries are going to happen. There more injuries are going to happen. Guys are going to come back, and other guys are going to get hurt. This is going to happen. That's the one thing I think, big picture, I might criticize John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan for, is they get over-optimistic about things. They think that, okay, when we're all healthy, everything will be great. When we're all healthy, and what do we know about the 49ers and the NFL and sports in general? You're never all healthy. Yeah. It never happens like that. Nick Bosa will not be healthy this season. That's now, you know, part of history. So offensive line was where they could use a few more talent, a little more talent, a little more youth. But they go their own way on offensive line. I've had this discussion with Kyle Shanahan. I'm not, you know, he's going to do it the way he's going to do it. I think it would be really nice to have a third-round tackle who's been sitting around for a year ready to plug in at either spot. If anyone gets hurt, they do not have that. That's not who they are. But that, if you ask me big picture where the holes are, I would say offensive line. And they would disagree with me quite violently, by the way. The 49ers, and they would point to, look at the stats, look at our guys. They have they've been solid this season. I do think when they go up a level, let's say when they play the Rams. Listen, Jacksonville's got a pretty good defensive line, so maybe we see some of that there. They stop the run. People are not running on them. I don't know that the 49ers are going to run on them. They have not run very well this season. All that, isn't that the way it usually works? You struggle running the ball, then you go up against the best run defense you're going to play, and then you run the ball. You
take off.
You know Kyle Shanahan's going to want to do that. But this is not, a bunch of Pro Bowlers on the offensive line. I know they don't think they need that. But I would say if you down the road in week 14, what we might be talking about, I think we might be talking about the offensive line.
Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, with us here, Withered and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Okay, TK, 6 days till October 1st. How is this Kuminga thing going to end? It sounds like both sides are completely dug in, and so the Warriors, you tell me if I'm wrong, they're kind of looking at Jonathan being like, do what you're going to do. And but I know no one wants that qualifying offer situation to happen. We heard the report yesterday about the Kings. How does this end, do you think, and when?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be trade. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. It does not. The Kings thing's never made sense to me, and other than the Kings like him, but there's the offer doesn't make sense. The Warriors would have to put another player into this trade because of the whole salary cap rules. Let's just say they're not going John Kuminga and Moses Moody and getting a player they don't want, even if you put an unprotected first-round pick in there, and I don't think the Kings are doing that. So that aside, yeah, I think Kuminga has $48 million guaranteed on the table, and does he take it or does he not take it? And I just – around the league, people are stunned it's gone this far. Doesn't mean that that's what Jonathan Kuminga has to listen to. But there's some, you know, like what exactly is the thought process here? He can get $48 million, whether it's a team option as a third year or whatever, it works. It's $48 million. It's guaranteed as opposed to 7.9 guaranteed if he takes a qualifying offer. You know, if the qualifying offer is as great as the agent continues to talk about, then you should just take it. Right, you should have taken it 3 weeks ago. You should have taken it 3 months ago. Have them take it because it's not a great option for them. There are, you know, reasons he would take it. I get it, and you become a free agent next year, but then you would have to have somebody with a ton of cap room who would be happy to pay you $35 million, $40 million to make up for all the money you've lost, and you're still probably not going to make up for that. So, I mean, if the Warriors moved on this, and I'm surprised they moved. But that's okay. They moved to a fair number. They were getting a little tough on him in that 1 year with the team options, a little bit tough. I would have understood if they kept there, but it was you could say that was a little bit stingier than they needed to be. So they went to two, $48 million. They want to keep that trade slot. I think what's happened is kind of what often happens is Joe Lacob really likes a player. Everybody knows he likes a player. If it doesn't work out, the agent is still pushing for it because he knows Joe likes a player. At some point, Joe's going to let him go. At some point. Now, I don't know that to be true. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's going to get aggregated and whatever. That's great. But I'm just saying that's what happened with Wiseman. And the sense I get, other than we know that Joe Lacob likes Kuminga, is that they're not like completely saying this is our greatest player and Joe loves him. So we're never, you know, they're not doing that. They're doing let's maintain the trade value. And the way they maintain the trade value in their minds is to stay at 2 years, 48. Now, could they go to a third year guaranteed? Yes, they could. You know, I don't think he'd be on the team in 3 years. So they're not paying that salary. But I can see where they're saying he has not earned this. And he's certainly not earned a player option because they've only given one player a player option that I can recall. They've not given Steph Curry a player option, by
right,
the way.
Right, right.
You know, they gave two. Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. And Kevin Durant, you did it because you had to do it to get the guy. Draymond Green, you did it because he's never gotten the max. He's gotten his extension max. But it's been 22, 24, 26. It's not been 44, 48, 40. You know, so because he keeps taking below the max, they gave him a player option this year. So you didn't give it to Steph. You didn't give it to Iguodala. You didn't give it to Clay.
Right.
And then you're going to give it to John Kuminga. That doesn't sound right. It doesn't feel right. Maybe they can do it. But I've been waiting for them to just to draw the line at some point. Maybe it's this weekend. I think maybe the sign of that would be if we just start hearing Al Horford sign for 1 year, D'Anthony Melton sign for 1 year, just announce them. And now they haven't done that because it would limit the number they can pay Kuminga in the first year, and they don't want that to happen. I might just go ahead and do it. Say, Jonathan, you can sign right now for this number, But if you don't, we want these guys reporting to camp on time. If we don't sign them, we can't have them in camp because they're not on the team. And if you don't take this number, then we're going to give Al Horford this number, Matt Melton this number, Gary Payton II this number, Seth Curry this number, and then you must take this number.
Yeah.
We can't go over this number. Again, I'm a little surprised they haven't done that already. Maybe by Saturday, Sunday, as Marcus Thompson suggests at 1:05 p.m. Sunday when there's a kickoff going on in Santa Clara. you know, we'll see. If you're Al Horford, do you need to know by Monday? I think you did. I would want to know. I would want my signature on a contract and not be sitting around. Shams Charania has reported that Jimmy Butler's had a little mini camp in San Diego and everybody's been there, but not Kuminga. Well, Kuminga's not on the team. I get why he wouldn't be there. He's literally not on the team. He has no contract. So I wouldn't expect him to go out of his way to go to a mini camp. But what happens on Monday at media day could be very interesting. I would be unsurprised, but I don't know that it's happening, that we start seeing some of these Al Horford and Melton at the very least start being announced to deals, and it becomes a matter of, okay, Jonathan, like, you had your chance at this number. We still love you. And they do like him. I mean, there's been no shots at him. But this is the new number because we just had to go ahead and sign these guys, and we couldn't hold them up waiting for you to come in at a number. We'll see if that is the development that could happen over the weekend. Of course, Jonathan could sign over the weekend too. It's a whole lot of staring at each other. It's a whole lot of factors that are beyond just the number, beyond just what's his role. It's all these things converging at once. Probably should be decided by the weekend. Knowing this thing, though, this thing should have been decided by 2 months ago.
No doubt.
So Michael Bass's weekend, I just think there is a practical, do you really want to have a media day that doesn't have Al Horford, that doesn't have D'Anthony Melton, whether it has Jonathan Kuminga or not, whatever. But I think you kind of want those guys in. Wednesday is the, qualifying offer deadline, right? But you could delay that. That's one thing I've been trying to tell people. It's not a hard deadline because, one, both sides could agree to delay it. Two, even then, the Warriors could offer more or less after that spot anyway. So that's just the moment that the Warriors are no longer obligated to offer him $7.9 million to maintain his restricted free agent status. Once that passes, they can offer him whatever they want to, and he's still restricted free agent.
Wow.
So that's the deadline there. I think the real one is probably Sunday night, Monday morning.
Okay. Well, that's coming soon. Hey, Tim, awesome. Awesome to get the intel. Thank you so much for coming on.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.